Loving God, may you open our ears to hear what you are saying today. Not what we want to hear, not what we think you are saying, but what you are saying to us. Amen. So, we are called each Sunday to listen to the Word of God as it's read to us in the Bible, just as Robin read to us. We hear someone preach from it, which is what I'm hopefully going to do now, teaching and exhorting us to live as God calls us to live. And some days, like today, that is particularly challenging. I don't know if you found that as you heard those words and thought, oof, that's difficult to hear some of those things. They're difficult. To live as Jesus calls us to live, or to live as Paul then continues and calls us to live. But we're going to attempt it this morning, to find a way that isn't overwhelming, that doesn't seem impossible, but is actually inspiring and God-driven. So, let's go. We're going to start with Jesus. It's a very good place to start. And the first thing I want you to notice is how our own life experiences always influence what we hear and how we understand things. Because the first thing I want you to draw your attention to is that there is no follow-up to Jesus declaring that he's going to rise from the dead. Did you notice that? The follow-up is the response that he's going to die. There isn't a follow-up to the response that he's going to rise from the dead. If I stood up here on a Sunday morning and say I'm going to die in a month's time, but come back to life after a short while, I wonder what aspect of that statement you would focus on. Personally, if someone else did that, the thing that would stand out for me is that they would rise from the dead. Because that is phenomenal. But the thing is, sometimes as soon as we mention the word dying, it causes such shock that we don't even hear the end of the sentence. Now, I'm aware that for some of you, that might be particularly the case this morning. You might be in a place where it is really difficult to talk of death. Maybe through your own recent loss or through the tragedy of news stories that have particularly touched you. Wherever we are at, what we hear and how we hear it influences us. And importantly, influences what we then don't hear. If that is you this morning, I encourage you to try and hear that there is hope in this story. This is what we're going to be exploring. The reason I point this out to you is because I think this is where the disciples are at. Because there are three times that Jesus makes this statement in the gospel, in this particular gospel of Matthew. Three times he says he's going to go to Jerusalem, he'll suffer at the hands of the authorities, and he will die, and he will rise again in 3 days. And three times he says it, twice he says it, they respond in grief and anger and shock that he's going to die. And once they have no response. At no point do they question his statement that he's going to rise from the dead. The death is what their mind and emotions dwell on, which is absolutely human. We have all of us, as I was saying, experienced the pain and grief of loss. And whenever we mention death, it brings up all that pain again. That is absolutely human. That is who we are. And it is right and good, and that is okay. We explore those feelings. Particularly, I encourage you to explore them with God, explore them with other people, to let them pray for you. But there is no getting away from the fact that it influences us. So when someone talks about dying as Jesus is doing, we can identify with that. We can emote with that concept. We've all experienced it. We can connect. When they talk about rising from the dead, we don't really have a human point of contact with that. There's not often that happens in real life. In fact, in my own experience, Jesus is the only one that I have had contact with who has risen from the dead. I have no other experience. There's no way of me connecting with that thing. I wonder if that is what the disciples are struggling with. They also have not had that experience, even though there are a couple of times earlier in the gospel that you could argue they may have been around Jesus when he's raised someone from the dead, but he said they were just sleeping. You can forgive them. That is not a natural thing that they connect with. They have no life experience of it, and so it's much harder to connect on that human level or comprehend it. So, as we contemplate the rest of this passage, what Jesus means by taking up our cross, I just want you to remember that although he talks about the fact that he will face the cross and he will die, that there will be suffering, he then talks about the fact that he will then rise. There is hope. In the same sentence that he's saying it, there is hope. That's what he ends on. There is redemption. Let's not forget Easter Day as we contemplate Good Friday. This is a really important balance, and indeed a motivator that we need as we look to what Jesus is asking of his followers later in this passage. Because, let's get down to it, we can't get away from the fact that Jesus is asking his followers to pick up their cross and to follow him. What does that mean? Are we to take it literally? Does it mean we have to head the way of physical pain and suffering, head the way of crucifixion? Only then are we considered followers of Christ. Is that what he's saying? I think I can say no. Not least because in the development of the Bible, the gospel writers seem to have come to that conclusion for themselves. Mark's gospel is believed to be one of the earliest, well, the earliest gospel that was written. And in Mark's gospel, this account that Jesus says, it implies that it's very literal. Mark is implying that we literally have to be crucified like Christ is crucified. But Matthew and Luke wrote later, and their gospel writings make it much more spiritual. They imply that Jesus is talking about a spiritual cross that we have to take up and follow Jesus with. There's, for them, for Matthew, the writers of Matthew and Luke, there is something much deeper about being willing to bear what the cross represents, not actually carrying the wooden beam. So, let's look at what the cross represents. And believe me, we will not do this justice this morning in one sermon. You could spend your whole Christian life exploring and always learning something new about what the cross represents and what Jesus did on it. There are scholars, theologians who have dedicated their whole lives to teaching us what it means. So we will just scratch the surface this morning. But today, I want you to consider what we see Jesus do on the cross. Did he give up his free will for the purposes of God? It is to be willing to face humiliation for the purposes of God. It is a willingness to show such love that it may even cause personal pain for the purposes of God. So what if that is what Jesus is asking us to take up? If we want to follow him, to be willing to give up our own desires for the purposes of God, to be willing to face humiliation in society for the purposes of God, and to show such love that it might cause us pain for the purposes of God. This is what Paul is expanding on in his letter to the Romans. That we had the passage that we had this morning. The path that following Jesus, the way that following Jesus that Paul is explaining here. All of Paul's instructions, if you read that passage again, are to act in a way that is counter to the way the world might react. It's in opposition to how we might instinctively act as human beings, giving up our own natural desires to act in God's way. Bless, don't curse, Paul says. Mourn with those who are mourning. Live in harmony. Do not repay evil for evil. Do not take revenge. Do not be overcome by evil. All of these behaviors that Paul is talking about are giving up our own free will to act in what we may think of as our own best interests, but instead to act in a way that witnesses to the grace and the generosity and the peace and love of God. To act in a way of God's purposes. And let's be honest about times that we've experienced this. All of these behaviours might involve seeming humiliation. When we don't rise to the aggressive, angry, fighting talk, we just submit to it. Our society has a tendency to ridicule that. That is not seen as being strong. It's seen as a sign of weakness. But that is the way that Paul is asking us to behave. That is what Jesus asks us to do. Because through this, God's purposes are revealed. And let's also be honest, these behaviors may even cause us pain. Emotional pain or mental or physical pain for God's purposes. And this, it is where it is key to remember what I started with. Because hope will come. The resurrection comes. New life comes. It will not be for us in 3 days as it was for Jesus, but in God's good time, hope will come. New life will come. Redemption will come. We believe that there will be a new heaven and a new earth, that God will restore, will resurrect, if you like, this earth and make all things new and right and perfect once more. That is our future hope that we live for. This is the gospel that we proclaim. That's why Easter Day is a beautiful, wonderful, powerful celebration that it is. Because it's not just the historic event in the past that we cling to, it is the promise of the future that we are living for. A good and hopeful future. The new life, the resurrection that is to come. We are called to take up our cross, to face this potential humiliation, this potential pain, to face this suffering in our current world for God's purposes. But one last thing that I want to be very clear on about suffering for Jesus and experiencing challenges and difficulties for Jesus. Jesus only ever talks about this context of suffering for his sake, in his name, for God's purposes. When we live out God's way, we may come into opposition with the evil of the world. That's what I've been talking about. That's where we might find the clashes. That's where the pain might come. When we carry our cross in this way, in this public way of living out God's way, we are called to potentially face suffering for that. We are not called to suffer for suffering's sake. Living out our faith is not easy and it may cause pain and difficulty, but it is not through general suffering that we somehow become worthy to be part of God's world. It's not suffering generally that proves that we're followers of Jesus. It is when we live in the way that Jesus calls us to live, we live out God's purposes, that we might come up against the opposition, and that's where suffering may happen. And Jesus is preparing us for that. But when we promote God's ways in the world, that is when we live out God's ways. We bring hope to the world. We show that good can overcome evil. We show that love can be stronger than death. We show God's way. So, practically, how do we go out from today, from here today? How do we take up our cross? What is Jesus calling us to do? You may well think of the examples in your own life, but perhaps for you it may be to stand up for that person at work or at school or in the shop as you go shopping down Mill Road who is being teased or bullied, to stand up for them, even if it means we may face the same treatment. Perhaps indeed it is not to shop at that shop because we know the clothes are not ethically sourced or made, even if it means we go without that jumper that we love and can actually afford. Perhaps it is to volunteer to help others in a charity, in a church, even though if we give up that time, it means we have less time for ourselves. Perhaps you can think of other examples of real life sacrificial situations where to live out God's way involves giving up something of your own way. But I pray that this morning you would find the motivation to witness to God's way, the motivation being that it reveals God's way in the world. And that it is for a time, because hope comes. Then we can love sincerely, as Paul tells us to do. We can hate what is evil. We can honor one another. We can be generous. We can be hospitable. We can be joyful in hope. We can be patient with and faithful to God. Then we can show the world God's good and generous and peaceful and loving way. We can make these personal sacrifices. We can take up our cross. We can walk with Jesus. Because let's not forget, the word martyr comes from the Greek word meaning witness. We can witness in all these ways. This is what Jesus means by taking up our cross and following him. Amen.